up in church. My family did gospel music all over the world. We didn't have a house until I was 7. I grew up on a bus. And so we literally had church. Let me hear y'all say, every night.
Every night.
Every night. Let me hear you say this, every morning.
Every morning.
10 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock at night. I grew up in the era of tent revivals. How many remember those? Cloudy and your family had a big tent they would set up, come into a city, had church every day, 10 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock at night. A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as long as people were coming out and getting saved, we had church. So that's how I grew up. And when I became 13 years old, my daddy gave me a guitar at 12. I knew from the time I was about 4 or 5, I want to do that. First time I saw somebody play, I knew, I want to do that. And my desire was so great that the Lord enabled me, so I did. So the time I was 13, started making a living playing guitar. Every night. And I wanted so badly to please church people. But the first time I walked into church with my guitar, they said, it's too loud. And I remember saying, but I haven't even plugged it in yet. And that sort of was my saga of guitar in church. It was just tough. I tried everything I could. I'd get a cheesy grin on my face and smile, and it didn't seem to matter what I did. I couldn't please church people. And one night, I was so frustrated that I told the Lord, I said, I cannot please these people. You know what he said to me, David? He said, me neither. And then he said something that changed my life. He said, why are you trying?
Yeah.
He said, I never told you to play to them.
Right.
He said, I told you to play unto me.
Right.
He said, if you play unto me, it's going to be all right. And that freed me up. And so whenever I play, I want people to like it, but not everything is riding on if they do because I'm doing it unto him. I like to think every time I play, he steps on the back porch of heaven and goes, David, y'all hold it down a minute. My boys are playing down here. I want to hear them. So anyway, it's a joy to me to get to play music for you. It's a greater joy for me to be able to be here and share the word of the Lord with you in this new year. Amen. How many of you know 2021 is going to be the greatest year? I was sharing with your pastor the other day, you know, there's been so much trouble. I don't know if y'all are familiar. There has been a virus. I didn't know if y'all were current event people, but there's been a virus in the world and in America the last year. And there's been a lot of woe and a lot of hurt and a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, death, quite frankly, illness and disease. And so for a lot of people, and I keep hearing the media talking about how glad they were to see 2020 go. It's good riddance. What a terrible year. And I told Pastor, I said, I feel a little guilty saying it. But it has been in the toughest times of my life that the love of the Lord has been the most profound in my life. It's been when I couldn't open a door and that there was no way I could make it happen, and yet he did. And I told Pastor, I said, in reality, almost by any measuring stick you use, 2020 has been the greatest year of my ministry life. And I've been in ministry 42 years. This is starting my 43rd year. And 2020 is the greatest year. And so I realize it's been tough in a lot of ways, but I'll just share with you why. One of the things is in 2020, I mean, this is all I do. My whole life is ministry. So just to speak freely with you, if I don't have a place to minister, I don't have any income. And in 2020, we had 16 weeks of cancellations, 4 months. Now, they didn't want to cancel me, but, you know, for a while there, I don't know if you know, that it was decided that liquor stores were essential. But church, no, it's just too dangerous. You can burn and loot our cities, but church is just too dangerous. And so for a while, I couldn't minister because the churches couldn't meet. But isn't it something, and my confession for 2020 was this, his arm is not short.
Amen.
In fact, I've about decided I'm going to just go with that. Yeah. Say that, his arm is not short. Personalize it, say, in my life,
his arm is not short.
Listen, how many of y'all know any door he opens, no man can shut?
Amen.
And any door he shuts, no man can open. Amen. And so incredibly, throughout 2020, when I didn't have otherwise means, you know what God did? He'd go from the north and then from the south, from the east, and he would blow provision for us. How many of you know God don't print money? I mean, it'd be cool if he did, wouldn't it? Can't you hear him? Let's go with 50s and 100s. But he doesn't print money. God don't write checks. In fact, he told me when he called me to ministry, he said, don't ever tell them what you think. Tell them what I said. And he said, if you tell them what I said, then I'll speak to them and they'll bless you. He said, I'll never write you a check. I'll never give you a $100 bill. That's what my people are for. And so what's incredible is even though I'm saying God did this and he did, the only way the things of God are accomplished on earth is through obedient people. Everything you see here has been established because of somebody somewhere was obedient and honored the word of the Lord. And so I want to encourage you because the world would have you to believe that 20 and 21 is going to be a continuation of more trouble, more heartache. It's going to be a dark winter, we've been told, a lot of terrible things. Here's my deal. God is God. And as long as you're with him, you're in the majority. It may just be you and him. You're in the majority. Amen? Say it, I'm in the majority. I realize, you know, things like elections and different things may not turn out like we want. But how many of you know, in the things of God, we never evaluate things by result. You evaluate by obedience. I'm going to say that again. For example, how many of you here have ever raised a kid that didn't do the things you taught him? I mean, almost everybody here could raise your hand. So does that make you a failure as a parent? No. You did the right thing. You don't evaluate your life by the result. You evaluate your life by your obedience. If you did what God called you to do, then it's not your responsibility, the result of that, because we can't legislate godliness. If there's anything that's true in America today, you can't legislate godliness. It's a choice of the heart. And so I just exhort you, go head on. Look at your neighbor and say, go head on. Say some swag. Y'all let me hear y'all say, go head on. That's what you want to do in 2021. You do what God told you to do. Follow him. Yes. Follow him. Now, I told Pastor in his office, I said, I'm ministering today. We're going to call this, it's kind of a question, who are you following? Because I've already kind of said a few things that the media has been telling us. And by the way, how many of you know, if you're looking to ABC or CBS or NBC or CNN to tell you the truth, that ain't going to happen. Amen. Why? Well, it's simple. They don't know him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth. Put that verse up, if you would, please. You know, in America today, how many of you know, everybody's looking for the way. Aren't we? I mean, what do they call it? Operation Warp Speed? Is that what they called the search for a vaccine for the COVID thing? Find us a way. Find us a way. All over their CEOs of companies right now, they're hiring people. Find me a way. I'm paying you big money. Find me a way. What do you want a way to do? Well, find me a way. Everybody wants a way. Everybody in America, everybody in the world's looking for a way. How many of you know Jesus said, well, that would be me. He said, I am the way. How many of you notice it doesn't say I'm a way? He's the way. Furthermore, how many of you know everybody's looking for truth? Boy, everybody's looking for truth. Isn't it something what stands as truth today? But everybody wants the truth. How many of you know your mama wants the truth? How many of you remember when your mama would look at you and tell me the truth? How many of you hear your mama could tell when you were lying? Mm-hmm. Probably a couple of mothers in here right now going, did you raise your hand? How many of you know wives want the truth? Tell me the truth. Man, everybody wants to know the truth. Well, how many of you know Jesus said, that would be me as well. Because I'm not a truth, I'm the truth. Let me hear y'all say, that's what he said. Say it again, that's what he said. He said, I am the way, I am the truth. And then how many of you know, if there's ever a time people want to be alive, it's now. Right? You ever seen a time when people are so concerned about staying alive? Of course, this carnal life that we have is so temporal, it's so fragile, you have to protect it, right? And you know we're serious about staying. I've been telling people, you can tell America's serious about staying alive. We're washing our hands, y'all. Now, desperate times, desperate measures, but people are serious. I don't know about you. Every now and then I see a guy in the bathroom, he don't wash his hand. I want to come out and go, hey, y'all. He didn't wash his hands. We want to stay alive. Well, how many of you know Jesus said, vaccine or no vaccine? That would be me. Let me hear y'all say, he is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. How many know he's Zoe? Say Zoe. Zoe. What does Zoe mean? The God kind of life. So your parents gave you a type of life, carnal life, which I always point out to people included death, right? I mean, your parents didn't want to give you death, but they didn't have a choice. The only life they could give you was the one their parents gave them, which also included death. And if you have any kids, you didn't want to give them death, but you couldn't help it. Along with brown eyes and curly hair, you gave them death. Right? And so that's what makes what Jesus said so profound. He said, your life has a definitive born on and expiration date. My life is eternal. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. In John, the 10th chapter, he said, my life is abundant. John 10 and 10. Put that verse up if you would, sweetheart. John 10 and 10. Jesus said, the thief. By the way, I've had people come to me and say, do you think it's God who sent COVID to judge America? Maybe you've heard people ask that. And I want to say, well, sin judges itself. Sin has its own consequence. God don't need to crack the whip on us. Sin does that. If you sin, you will reap what you sow. But Jesus right here broke it down for me pretty clear and straight. He said, here's the deal. The thief comes to what?
Steal.
What else?
Kill.
What else?
Destroy.
Amen. The thief comes to do those things. And then you notice after the word destroy, what is there? What piece of punctuation is after the word destroy? A semicolon, what does that mean? Right. It means I'm stopping, but there's more. And many times, any married man here knows it's what comes after the pause that is most valuable information. How many married brothers do I have here? Brothers in the struggle, raise your hand, gentlemen. That's right. It's after that pause that you need to listen up. And God said, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Pause. But I have come that you might have what?
Life
and life to the full. Or the King James says, life more abundantly. Now, he said two things here that we've looked at. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I want to talk about this idea of life more abundantly. How many of you understand just because you're in church doesn't mean you'll have life more abundantly? Because how many of you understand the abundant life is tied to being born again? If you understand that, wave your hand. See, we don't hand out abundant life like breath mints. Here, did you get your abundant life? The only way you become one who has abundant life is if you've given your heart to Jesus. Amen? Wave your hand so I know that's right. Now, I want to say something else about that. How many of you know just because you're born again doesn't guarantee the more abundant life? Now, some of you have said amen to that, and I can see some of you kind of cutting your eyes around going, is that what we believe here? How did a pastor take that? I'm going to say it again. Just because you're born again does not guarantee the more abundant life. And I'm going to use your own life experience to prove that what I'm saying is true. How many of you here know somebody who did not know the Lord? You know, may not have been just an abject heathen, but how many of you know if you, the Lord said, you're either gathering or you're scattering. You're either for me or against me. So even if you're a good person, how many of you know that ain't going to get you to heaven? So how many of you knew somebody who did not know Jesus, but then they heard the truth, they accepted it, and their life radically changed, and everything was wonderful? If you've ever seen that, raise your hand. I mean, go ahead. I think we've seen. If you've been around church, surely you've seen that. But how many of you have seen many people like that who did change, but they never got plugged in church, and before long were right back like they were before? How many of you have seen that? Here again, virtually everybody here. So I rest my case. They were sincere. They accepted Jesus. They became born again, and yet did not experience the more abundant life. So I want to talk about that. Jesus said, put John 10 and 10 up there again. This is one of the most profound things he ever said. The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. But how many of you understand he didn't send this out as a tweet? Right? Today, Jesus of Nazareth posted on Instagram. How many of you know he didn't make one sentence and then sign off? If you look, there's a number before the word thee. What is it?
10.
So that means this is essentially the 10th sentence in a message. This 10th sentence only means something to you if you really know what he said prior to that and what he said after that. In English, we call it, and by English I mean in like literature or writing, we call it context. Everybody say context. Look at your neighbor and say context. Ask them, do you know the context? Do you know the context? What was the context in which he said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have what? Zoe, life to the fullest, life more abundantly. So just because you're born again, just because you're a member, how many of you know the Bible is not looking for church members? On Judgment Day, that isn't what they want to know. Are you a church member? Have you got your Bible yet? Is your name in gold on the cover? Is it in cursive? That's not what they're looking for. That's not what they're looking for, because none of that's going to get you to heaven. So to have abundant life, we really need to know, what did he say prior to this? Say it again. What was the context? So to get the context, let's go to the beginning of his message, verse 1. And now we're going to go John 10, verse 1 through about verse 16, because you need to know what he said before this and what he said after it to fully grasp, say it again, the context. Notice he begins by saying, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees." The King James renders this, "Verily I say unto thee." If you're a student of the Bible, or if you've even read it in passing, you've seen that many times. "Verily I say unto thee." And you may have wondered, well, you know, that's, what's verily? What does that mean? It means, in sense, essentially, I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Now, if you think about it, to me, and many times I would read the scriptures, David, and I saw where Jesus essentially was saying, I'm telling the truth, and I'm thinking, why would he ever say that? I mean, you know, he's the only person that ever walked the face of the earth that didn't have to say that. I'm telling you the truth. How many of you here have a friend that if they ever say, I'm telling the truth, you know immediately they're lying? I used to have a friend, and if I asked him something, he'd go, believe me, I'll try. When I first met him, I thought that's what he meant. Later, I found out that in his speak, if he says, believe me, I'll try, that meant I'll never give this another thought. So Jesus began a sentence, I'm telling the truth. So I asked the Lord, why would Jesus have to say that? Why would Jesus have to say he's telling the truth? And the answer is because of who he's talking to. Who's he talking to there? The Pharisees. I asked the Lord one time, I said, why would he say that he was telling the truth? He said, well, because of the religious leaders he was speaking to. He knew that what he was getting ready to say to them was going to rattle the cage of their religiosity. It was going to shake the very foundations of their tradition. How many of you know one of the greatest hindrances of the Spirit of God is the traditions of men? Wave your hand and say, I know that's right. How many of you know we're not looking for, bless God, that's how we've always done it. Give me that old time religion. How many of you know the Lord said, I'm doing a new thing? Yes. Amen. Let me hear y'all say, that's what he said. So he says here, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, I'm not lying to you. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is what? A thief and a robber. So we already have some foreshadowing. He's now one sentence into his message, and we already kind of have an idea of what his subject matter is going to be. It's going to be sheep pens and gates. And that's further proven by what he says in the second verse. He says, the one who enters by the gate is the what? The shepherd of who? All right, so there's three key words here we've seen. Shepherd, sheep, pen, really four, and gate. Shepherd, sheep, pen, and gate. So we're two sentences in. Here's the context of which Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. He was talking about shepherds, sheep, pens, and the gate to get you in the pen. Let's look at verse 3. He says, now, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and what do the sheep do? Everybody put your hand up like this. Lean forward. I'm looking. Some of y'all don't have your hands up. You're back here. Thank you. But lean forward. If you don't lean forward, you're out of the will of God. That's right. Lean forward. There you go. All right. So, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to what? And they listen because what does he do? He calls them how? By name. And then what's he do? He leads them. All right. So we've got now three verses. He's telling us we know some things. Even if you didn't know anything about farm animals, even if you didn't know anything about life in the country, you know now that sheep have to have what? A shepherd. And shepherds have to have a pen. And then the pen has to have a gate. Amen. So the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep do what? Put your hand up there again. They listen, and he calls them by name. How many of you here enjoy hearing your name? I do most times. I remember when I was at school, I was like, Kim! And now as a married guy, sometimes, Kim, and I'm like, what? How many guys here have learned that how valuable this phrase is? What? Served me well as a teenager. My mom would say something, you know, I knew I was in trouble if my name had two syllables. Kim! What? And now if my wife says stuff to me, immediately, that's my defense. What? So I enjoy hearing my name. Many of you enjoy hearing your name. Well, that's how the shepherd leads the sheep. He calls them, and they listen. And then what does he do? He leads them out. Look at verse 4. Now, when he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, because what do the sheep do? They follow him, because what do they know? Now, here we have more insight. Anybody here raise sheep? Anybody here grow up in the country? Did you have sheep, Royal? I know you got a lot of, you got like a old McDonald's farm going there, but no sheep? Anybody here ever owned sheep? Well, how many of you know sheep, you have a large number, even if you just had 5 sheep, how many of you know you can't drive sheep? Like you go out on a cattle drive? I mean, you can drive cattle. You'd be on the back of a horse and crack your whip. And drive cattle. How many of you know you can't drive sheep? I mean, you get behind sheep and go, yeah, they're going to go. What? Because sheep can't be driven. They have to be led. Look at verse 5. Now, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, what will they do? They'll run away from him, because what don't they recognize? They don't recognize his voice. Now look at verse 6. Something remarkable happens in verse 6. Jesus used this figure of speech, but what's up with the Pharisees? They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Now, David, I know you know the word. There's been times I bet you've been preaching, and you can look out there and tell they're not getting this. Right? A type of a thing. That's right. Same with me. I've been ministering before, and I can tell there's people out there that are thinking about catfish. Time we get there, there's not going to be no catfish. If he keeps this up, all we'll have is potted meat and spam. Won't be no roast beef. The shrimp will be gone, and they're not hearing nothing I'm saying. Now, you and I know the word, and that happens to us. Incredibly, Jesus is the word, and people still didn't get it. Let me hear y'all say, Shazam. I mean, this is the word. John tells us the word became flesh. This is the actual word of God talking to them, and they're missing it. So when that happened, did he look at him and realize, oh, this is a waste of time. Drive safely, everybody. Did he just close it out? No, look in verse 7. He did what I bet you and I have done many times. It says, therefore, Jesus started all over again. And notice what he said. I mean, he literally started all over again. He said it again. I'm telling the truth. Verily I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Remember, say it again, context. We're finding out what is the abundant life tied to. So far we know it's tied to a shepherd, a sheep, a pen, and a gate. Now look at verse 8. He says, all who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep haven't listened to them. Verse 9, for I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in, they'll go out. What will they find? Pasture. What is pasture? Well, for sheep it is indeed, because how many of you understand sheep are herbivores? What are herbivores? Plant eaters, as opposed to carnivores. What do carnivores eat? Carnivores don't eat meat. No, they eat herbivores. Now, you didn't know that. Herbivores know that. I mean, you talk to any herbivore, whether it's a horse, a deer, a sheep, a gazelle. How many of you know all of them know? How many of you have ever seen little baby like deer or sheep or horses, gazelles, when they're first born, what are they immediately trying to do? Stand up. That's exactly why. Because they have an ingrained, inbred, totally in their DNA deal of, to preserve my life, I need to be able to run. Herbivore's number one response to anything, run away! You got a herd of sheep. You may have 50 sheep right here, and there's 5 of them on the very periphery. They look and see a wolf. What are they going to do? Run! They're going to start running. What are the other 45 doing? Eating. What? And they see these five run, and what do the 45 start doing? They run too. And you can bet they have a conversation as they're running. Why are you running? Well, I don't know, because you are. Well, what are we running from? I don't know, but it's over there. And that is the nature of herbivores, is they run. Their first response to everything is to run away. So pasture for them is more than just food. It is literal everything of life. Everything. It's not only their sustenance. I believe it's their dreams and their goals. Because how many of you understand here, when he talks about these shepherds and sheep, he's not really talking about the farm animal, the sheep. Who's he talking about? Wave your hand and say, me. He's talking about you. So he is likening us to sheep. Now, I asked you if anybody here owned sheep. Nobody did. So let me just kind of break it down. Let me hear y'all say, break it down. Say it, break it down. How many of y'all understand sheep, farm animals, herbivores? How many of you know sheep, their first response to everything is to run? What is it? I don't know, but it's bad. They run. And how many of you know that's because sheep do not have sharp, razor-sharp teeth? Sheep don't have razor-sharp hooves. They're not particularly fleet of foot. They're not the smartest animal out there in the pen. They're a little slow of wit. I'm serious. They're not, oh, huh? All right, I mean, some of y'all are going, well, it's no wonder. That would be me. 23 DNA, I mean, that's me. It says right here, I'm slow-witted, and you know, whatever. That is the nature of sheep. They don't have really good eyesight. How many of you know they don't have built-in camouflage? Right? I mean, when you're that stark white, you stand out in contrast no matter where you are. And I can assure you there's one word that's never been uttered in the conversation of a group of sheep. You know what that word is? Not. They've never said this. Blend. Blend. Just blend. They can't. They stand out wherever they are. As a consequence, sheep have to have a shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd helps them to find pasture. And what is pasture? It's more than just something to eat. It's life. It's protection. It's assurance. It's comfort. It's I can rest. I can take it easy. I can put my feet up. Because they can afford to. How many of you know the word shepherd in the Old Testament is translated overseer? What allows them to relax when they find the pasture? They have an overseer. How many of you understand, because the way I'm standing right now, I have the physical positioning of an overseer. As I look at you, I can see things about your world that you can't see. I can see every door in this room right now, virtually at once. I can see if anybody comes in. You can't, but I can. I can see things not only about your world, I can see things about you. I can see if you've parted your hair straight. I can see if that's becoming less and less of a concern. I can see if you've buttoned your shirt straight. I can see things about you you cannot see about yourself. Such is the case of an overseer. And that's why sheep have to have an overseer. He sees things about the sheep's world they cannot see. And that's why it's important, and I'm asking you today, so who are you following? Because how many of you understand, if you're not following a shepherd, you're not finding pasture. You're not finding protection. In fact, you're on your own. In fact, you're dependent on what CNN and the women on The View tell you. God forbid. Because how many of you know they can't tell you something they don't know? They can't take you somewhere they've never been. They can't give you a drink of something they've never had. So how many of you know, if you listen to them, you'll talk like them. If you listen to them, you'll think like them. If you talk like them and you think like them, how many of you know you're going to get what they get? But for those of us who have a shepherd, who follow our shepherd, how many of you know we can have blessings in times of drought? We can walk in health in the season of COVID. Amen. If you have a shepherd, if you're following the shepherd, you'll come in and you'll go out and you'll find pasture. Let me y'all say, that's good. Say it like Andy Griffith. Y'all say, that's good. That's good. Now, let me point something else out. I want to ask you, who are you following? How many of you understand, by definition, if you're not following the shepherd, Well, you're following another sheep. Now, I guarantee there's a lot of people out there who don't follow the shepherd who would never think of themselves as a follower. Many of them think they're leaders. But here's the deal. If you're not following a shepherd, by definition, you're following another sheep. And how many of you know sheep don't know? Huh? I mean, I talked about this once I was here before. How many of you know the human body has 206 bones? Did you know when we're born we have more than that? Anybody here in the medical profession? I think it's like 220 or 230 bones. When an infant is born, they got like 220 or 230 bones. I can tell y'all think this is going to be a joke. I'm serious. We do. By the time we grow and develop, many of them fuse together until we have over 206. But that's remarkable. 206. I was reading an article the other day. How many of you have seen some of these robots that they've come up with? Some that they have skin. They can do facial expressions just like a human. They look and they walk, do everything. You know what they can't? They've never been able to replicate. Running. And I read, and it said the reason, and this was not written from a perspective of a Christian or a believer, they were just stating the obvious, that as incredible as our technology is today, that we can recreate facial expressions and things to a degree. Many of you have seen animation. Aren't you marveling at the animation movies for kids these days, how much expression are in some of those faces? But you know what they've never been able to replicate with a robot is running, because the development and the creation of the foot is so complex. All the bones that not only allows us to support all this weight, but to move left and right laterally, to walk backwards, forwards, left and right, to run, to stop, to change direction at an instant. They've never been able to recreate that. And yet, there are people out there that want you to believe that all came from a bang. Your body not only has 206 bones, how many of you know it's got 970 miles of blood vessels? 970 feet would be impressive, wouldn't it? Can you imagine just unzipping and going, there it all is, 970 feet. But it isn't 970 feet. It's like from here to Michigan. 970 miles is inside of you right now. And incredibly, there's sheep out there that want you to think, well, that came from a bang. And, you know, I always look at them and say, but, I mean, it's 970 miles. Well, it was a big bang. That's the only answer they have. There's a big bang. The complexity of creation. My wife and I have horses. They're the greatest watchdogs you could ever have. They don't bark. They don't run and raise cane. You know what they do? They look. Buddy, you can tell when something's going on. My wife and I are walking across and we look out there in the pasture and all them horses looking somewhere. I immediately start looking 75, 100 yards out, because I know they've seen or heard something, and they can't afford to be wrong. As herbivores, their number one preservation is the flight, to be able to run. They can't afford. See, here's the deal with herbivores. If a herbivore hears a sound, immediately they run. Run! Run away! Because they can't afford to go, what was that? In that moment of indecision, what was that? If they take a couple steps towards them, they've actually taken a couple steps towards their death. As opposed to carnivores. What do carnivores do when they hear a sound? Well, they look too. And they go towards it. Come on, y'all. We're carnivores, aren't we? You got a couple of carnivores out in the woods. Hey, Bob, what was that? I don't know, but it's over here. Come here and help me find it. Bring the ketchup. Because if we hear our sound, if we hear a sound, our first thought is, let's eat. Right? I mean, there's a graphic distinction between herbivores and carnivores. Herbivores hear a sound, let's not be eaten. Carnivores hear a sound, let's eat. And I don't know if you know this, David. Did you know that married carnivores actually will walk towards a sound they've never heard? And you're trying to decide, have I ever done that? I bet you have. All of you married carnivores, think about this. How many of you have been sound asleep? And then you hear, David, wake up. What? What? Wake up. What is it? I heard something. What? Well, you did what? I heard something. It's in the garage. Go see what it is. He never heard it, but he's walking towards it. He's heading out in his underwear. Where was it? He's heading going. But herbivores hear a sound, they run away. Because fear is the only thing they feel like that will preserve them if they don't have a shepherd. And here's the deal. If you're not following a shepherd, you're following another sheep. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're living your life and you find your nose up the back end of a sheep, there ought to be three words that come to your mind right away. This ain't right. Amen? Amen. Say it. This ain't right. That's what the world's doing right now. They think they're leading. Hollywood thinks they're leading somebody. Isn't it something when they stick their head out of the hole? Hi, my fourth divorce is finalized. I just got out of my seventh trip to rehab, but I'm ready to tell y'all how to vote. I'm ready to lead. And they explain their opinion like it's an objective formula. That it's just fact. Three words come to mind when I listen to them. That ain't right. If you're listening to sheep, three words ought to come to your mind. That ain't right. Listen to what they tell you. They're telling you a lie. Can we specify that any life matters if the life of the unborn doesn't matter? You know what I really marveled at? I read an article about one of the senators that was elected here a couple weeks ago in Georgia, who's a pastor. And he said, I am a pro-choice pastor. Now, I didn't come here to talk about politics. I came here to talk about what Jesus did, shepherds. And I just want to point out something to you. How many of you understand the responsibility of a shepherd is sheep? In fact, look at this next verse. Look at verse 10. He says, it's the thief that comes to kill. Who came to kill? Shepherds? You mean shepherds don't come to kill? You mean shepherds can't be pro-killing? No. Somebody's lying. I believe we got a sheep talking there. Because shepherds are all about sheep. In fact, look at the verse 11. I'm a good shepherd. So how can you evaluate a good shepherd? Well, what does a good shepherd do? His life is the protection of sheep. The Bible says he'll leave the 99 to go protect one. How can anyone say, I'm all about sheep, unless they're little? Then I kill them. That's a liar. It's a sheep talking. It's not a shepherd talking. And before you get offended at me, let me say what Jesus said. I'm telling the truth. Look at the next verse. The hired hand. The hired hand is not a shepherd. Why do we know he's not a shepherd? Well, he don't own sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, what's he do? He runs away. He's like, I don't get paid enough. I don't do wolves. Y'all don't pay me enough to do wolves. I'm out of here. Y'all on your own. That's a hired hand. It's not a shepherd. See, and Jesus made the distinction. This is why he told them two times in six sentences, I'm telling the truth. Because he knew it offended them. How many of you know it offends people today? There may be somebody sitting here you're offended. There may be somebody watching on Facebook or however they're seeing this who's offended. Because how many of you here, don't raise your hands, but how many of you went to a church and the way you got a shepherd was he was the best one in tryouts? Come on, y'all. We got a new shepherd at our church. Really, where'd he come from? I don't know, but he was the best one in tryouts. We got a new shepherd at our church, a new pastor, really. Where'd he come from? I don't know. Search committee found him. He followed us home. Can we keep him? We got a new shepherd at our church. Really? A new pastor? Where'd he come from? I don't know, but he got the most votes. Huh. What you have there is not a shepherd. What is it? It's a hired hand. Who said this? Selah. Think about that a minute. Who said this? Remind me, church. Who said this? Stroke your beard about that a minute. Go ahead, ladies. Do it by faith. That's right. Mm-hmm. She's back there in the back. She's like, mine's long. Hired hands are not shepherds. Hired hands are not shepherds. Sheep don't vote on shepherds. What's the problem with sheep voting on a shepherd? Well, if you voted them in, you betcha. Man, I've been in church all my life. I've heard it many times. Oh, bless God, I didn't vote for you. I was here before you came, and I'll be here long after you leave. Because that's the mindset a lot of people have. See, in America right now, hey, in Atlanta right now, in Forsyth County right now, there are people standing behind one of these who look like a shepherd. They're dressed like a shepherd, got a business card, says they're a shepherd. They drive a shepherd's car. But they are, in fact, a hired hand. Because here's what the Lord said. The Lord said, I will give you shepherds after my heart. All they eat, breathe, and think is sheep. And that's what I exhort you in. How many of you know this is a macro truth here? When the Lord talks about shepherdship, how many know he's really talking about God the Father and Jesus? They're our shepherd, right? But how many of you know there's a micro truth? Here's the macro truth that's for all of us. There's a micro truth in each little community. We got one right here. It's City on a Hill. You have a shepherd. How many of you know he's not here because some search committee found him? How many of you know he's not here because y'all voted for him? How many of you know he's here because he came here and established and started because God planted that in his heart to do?
Amen.
And he's done it through hard times and difficult times. Amen? He's done it many times with your help, and if I could be so free, perhaps in times of in spite of some of the year. But he's not doing it unto you, he's doing it unto him. And as a consequence, you have a standard to follow. You have a voice to listen to. You don't have to follow a sheep. You got a shepherd, glory to God. If you're not following a shepherd, by definition, you are following a sheep. Amen? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 13. He says, the man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for sheep. If you're saying I'm pro-killing sheep, you don't care anything about sheep. Look at verse 14. I am a good shepherd, and my sheep know me. Verse 15. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Who are you following? Are you following a shepherd, or are you following another sheep? I'll close with this. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm. I figure that's a good one. Let me hear y'all say, that's a good one. Let me hear you say it again. That's one of them good ones. And I figured it was a good one for this message. Just how does it start? The Lord is my shepherd. And what's the consequence if the Lord is your shepherd? Let me hear y'all say, I lack nothing. Young lady, stand up. Yep, you're on the front row. Say it, I lack nothing. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Amen. Miguel, stand up. Say it, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Amen. On the back row, madam with the hat on, stand up. Say it, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Amen. Everybody in the room, say it, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. See, this is why it's irrelevant what month it is or what year it is if the Lord is your shepherd. It's irrelevant if there's COVID or not. It's irrelevant if there's a pandemic or not. If the Lord is your shepherd, you don't have to walk in lack. His arm is not short. He don't run out, y'all. The world does. You want to go today? I'd like to all-you-can-eat shrimp. I'm sorry, that's on Saturdays only. That ended last week. Well, you wanted to buy one, get one. I'm sorry, we only do that every other Tuesday. How many know the world's like that? You go and you want something here, it's good, and then you get there. I'm sorry, we're out. How many of you know God don't run out? No one's ever gone to God and say, I'm sorry, and him look at you and say, healing, I'm sorry, we've had a run on healing. I've got some prosperity, I think, back here. How would that be? He never runs out, does he? And he said, I'm the great I am, which means it's always now. Let me hear y'all say, today's the day. How many of you, if you're following him, today's the day? Look at somebody and tell them, say, today's the day. How many of y'all are glad today's the day? Amen. I mean, wouldn't it be a drag if it was yesterday? We're all here today, but it was yesterday. It's today. If you're moving with the Lord, it's always today. He's my shepherd and I lack nothing. Look at verse 2. He makes me what? Where? And what do we say pastures is? Anything you're looking for. It's not just your sustenance. It's not just your provision, your hopes, your dreams, your destiny. It's all there. And what does he make you do? How many know you can't make sheep lie down if they're afraid? Can't make sheep lie down if they're hungry. These are well-fed, well-cared-for sheep if they'll lay down. He leads me beside what? Quiet waters. What's the significance of that? King James says still waters. What's that about? You've read the 23rd Psalm all your life. You ever wondered what's the significance of still waters? They will not drink from a moving stream. And that's why from the biblical days to today, I could take you to the Navajo where we've done many timed mission trips. They're the great sheep herders of today. It doesn't matter whether it's biblical times or today. If there's running water, a good shepherd knows, I got to dam this up and create still water for these sheep to come drink. They'll stand there and die of thirst looking at running water. But if he's your shepherd, he leads you beside still waters. You lie down in green pastures. Come on, y'all. Look at verse 3. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You know, Psalm 139 says, you hem me in behind and before. You know what I learned, Mike? Even when I wasn't serving the Lord, he was hemming me in. When I was at Penny a Beer Night at the Mad Hatter at Underground Atlanta. How many of y'all remember Underground Atlanta? How many of y'all remember Penny a Beer Night? Thursday nights. Pay your cover charge, I'd walk there and put a quarter on the bar. I'm king of the world. You know what's incredible? I didn't realize it at the time. The Lord was sitting next to me everywhere I went. Him and me and behind him. The wildest I thought I was, he was right there. And verse 5 of that psalm says, your hand is upon me. Even at your worst, even in your greatest moment of rebellion, the Lord was hemming you in behind him. He had his hand on you. Come on, y'all. And I believe it's verse 10 says, you don't just have your hand on me, you're guiding me. See, there's benefits to following the shepherd. What do you get if you follow sheep? Well, thank you. Because how many of those sheep will run off a cliff? Why? Because they saw another one do it. I mean, you look at the things going on in our world today, the things people are saying, they didn't think that up on their own. They heard another sheep say that. And they think, well, that sounds pretty good. I'm going to say that too. That's my story and I'm going to stick to it. Don't confuse me with facts. That's my opinion. If you follow the shepherd, you'll never know lack. You'll always have green pastures. You'll always have still waters. And he will always have his hand guiding you.
Amen.
Even in trouble, even a wrong step, he'll use it. How many of you know he said what the devil intended to use to kill you, I'll use for your good.
Yes,
come on, y'all.
Hallelujah.
People buy insurance policies, but what kind of coverage do I get here? You ever notice on any of your insurance policies, they'll ask you, now, do you know what's in your policy? I marvel how many people don't know what's in their policy that God has for them. That he says, my hand is upon you. Even if you make a wrong step, I can use that. A misstep. I've taken steps that I knew were out of rebellion. God was like, oh, I can work with that. Seriously. He never looked at me and said, you're on your own. I'm sorry, we're going to part ways here. I mean, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Come on, y'all. Let me hear y'all say, that's what he said. Sheep will leave you. Sheep are all over the page. Sheep are driven by emotion. How many of y'all know somebody? I mean, clearly it's none of you, but how many of you know somebody that their life is driven by emotion? When things are good, I love you. I love our life together. Darling, I love our life together. This is so wonderful. I just enjoy our time together. Let you snore that night and what's your thought? Kill him. Kill him. Hit him with a big rock. Just kill him. If you follow sheep, this is what it is. It's up and down, it's all over. Breaking news! Here's what the sheep have to say. How many know God don't need breaking news? How many know Jesus has already done all the breaking news he's going to do, y'all? Amen? That in the Bible. Let me y'all say, is that in the Bible? Come on, say it like your brother-in-law would. Is that in the Bible? Well, I'll prove to you it is. What were his last words hanging on the cross? It is finished. And what did he do when he went to heaven? Sat down. How many know you don't sit down until you're done? I mean, he's already done all he's going to do. His breaking news is already broke. The world's constantly got breaking news. And they think it's the biggest deal in the world. That's why this whole culture that we live in is so eat up with selfie. Here's what I said. Here's what I did. Look what I bought. Look what I sold. Look what I got. Look what I lost. Don't follow sheep. Follow the shepherd. Look at the next verse. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil. Stand up again, sister, and say it. I fear no evil. Amen. Stand up, brother, and say it. I fear no evil. Amen. They did good. Y'all give them a hand. Royal, stand up and say it. I fear no evil. Amen. Everybody in the room, say it. Let me ask you something. Why am I having these people stand up and say something? Am I just trying to embarrass them? Why would he do that? Make them stand up and say that. Well, it's simple. I'm having them say that because how many of you understand what I say doesn't govern their life? What I say doesn't govern your life. It's what you say. That's why I'm exhorting you to say it. Then I know no fear. Irrespective of what I hear on the news. Irrespective of what I read. I don't have to fear. Even if I'm walking through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death. I don't fear evil. Amen? Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He leads me to green pastures. He restores my soul. He lets me lie down near still waters. Amen? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. There's more, but that's enough. Who are you following? There's a song we used to sing years ago, whose report will you believe? And the retort was, we shall believe the report of the Lord. You can't believe the report of the Lord if you're not following the shepherd. If you don't follow the shepherd, you don't know what the report of the Lord is. You don't know what to believe. That's why we've got church people saying, do you think God sent this? Sin is its own consequence. What is the wages of sin? The Bible says death. You sow to your flesh, you'll reap death in your flesh. You sow to life, you'll reap life. God doesn't need a virus to judge the world. Sin does that. You can look at people's lives. The fruit they bear speaks of what their choices have been. People can tell you, I follow the shepherd. But what is the fruit of their life? If there's trouble, hardship, anger, resentment, every evil thing, can they really say they're following the shepherd? No, because the Lord said, if you're following me, as the psalmist says, you'll know no lack. You'll have green pastures. You'll have still waters. And so I exhort you in this first few weeks of 20 and 21, follow the shepherd. Listen to the shepherd. He's the only one that knows your name. All these people that are talking and telling you stuff, they don't know your name. They don't care your name. They never have cared about your name. He does. And if you know him, it's, I bet you, it's because he had to leave 99 to come find you. I know he did me. I know he did me. One of my high school mates is here this morning. He knows how I was in high school. I had somebody contact me the other day, hadn't seen him in 43 years, and his first words to me were, you're a preacher? He said, man, if God will forgive you, he'll forgive anybody. See, that's the beauty. Yes, he will. You may say, well, you know, I wanted to follow the shepherd, but I've done this and it doesn't matter. God hasn't stopped loving you. There's nothing you could do to keep him from loving you because there's nothing you did to get him to start in the first place. He chose to love you. He chooses to love you today. And he has a future for you. 20 and 21 is going to be the greatest year of your life. When I shared with your pastor the other day, 2020 has been the greatest year. He said, you know, you were at our church January of last year. And right before you spoke, I got up and decreed, this is going to be a profound year of blessing for the church. And it was. That's the beauty of having a shepherd, y'all. So that you can have somebody speaking that into your life. The oracles of the Lord. And so I exhort you, remember where God has planted you here. Now grow. Living things grow where they're planted. As you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I never assume just because you're in church that you're born again. Because I know how often I went to church when I was not. I never assume just because you're in church that you've asked Jesus in your heart. And see, that's the deal. We looked earlier at John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. He said, no man comes to the Father unless he goes through me. I'm the only gate, he said in this passage we just read. I'm the only gate that gets you in the pen. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, if you don't know that you know there's been some point that you said, stop everything. I admit I'm a sinner. I admit my life is broken. And I admit I can't fix it. I need a Savior. If you've never done that, then the simple truth is you're not born again. Because you don't get born again by coming to church. It doesn't happen through osmosis. It's a decision. It's a choice. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm the only one looking around. And the only reason I am is because if you raise your hand in a moment, I'm just going to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come to the front or stand up. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, you realize you've been following sheep and not the shepherd. That can be rectified, and you don't need a password. There's no forms to fill out, no lines to stand in. All you have to do is say one word, yes. When you say yes to Jesus, everything changes from the inside out. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here today and you're ready to say yes to him, you're ready to say yes to forgiveness, you're ready to say yes to joy, you're ready to say yes to hope, you're ready to say yes to healing, you're ready to say yes to expectations of blessing, then I want you to do something simple. Right where you're seated, just raise your hand where I can see it. Do it right now. I see you can put it down. I see you can put it down. Church, pray. That's two. I believe there may be somebody else. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, but you're ready, is there anybody else? Do it quickly. The Bible says when just one person says yes, every angel in heaven rejoices. We got two today. So I want everyone in this room to agree in prayer right now and pray out loud with these two. Father, I thank you for loving me. So much that you sent your son to die. That I might have life. And that you resurrected him. That I might have eternal life. I thank you that my sins are forgiven. My past is erased. And I have a future. So I'll never look back. Only ahead. I'm forgetting what's behind. And pressing towards what's ahead. Because I now know him. My best days are the ones ahead of me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we give God glory.